For this one, we got to get a Good Riddance by Green Day.
Yeah, exactly.
We gotta have that.
Are we
as a bed under us? Like,
are we that bitter about this? I've had a great time.
You don't know that song?
Good Riddance? No, no. I just sounds like something that
it's
makes
the
me
song
feel
from
like
the end of Seinfeld.
Another turning point. A fork stuck in the road.
I didn't know that song had
time
a name.
Got
I thought it was.
Directs you where to go.
Oh God. I thought it was just that annoying Green Day song that doesn't rock and is in the end of every TV episode.
But dare you?
Oh, I know. I thought that was the name of it. I thought they called it. I
dare you.
They played that at my high school graduation.
They played that
they
at everyone's high school graduation.
They should have forced you.
They're saying Good Riddance.
It didn't. I don't even think it was out when my high school graduation happened, and they still played it at my high school graduation.
They just played like 1920s, like swing music or whatever.
They were like, we know what the song is going to be.
We almost voted for the Ataris for our high school graduation song, but instead the actual like graduation song won, but not the.
I know.
Wait, so you voted on
circumstance?
You voted on the song.
There was a song
called the graduation song
when we were like in like 2003.
Da, 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 da. Doesn't it go like that?
I think so, yeah.
We are something.
Yeah.
Something, something. Yeah, it's that song.
I think so.
And then there's like a rap breakdown.
Yeah.
And this is for
it's
your
it was probably your graduation song, too, because we're about the same age.
2002? Is that when you graduated?
But I remember.
Vitamin C.
Vitamin C.
I'm so lost. Are we doing the podcast? Or,
this is it. Guys, if you're listening, and you've made it this far, then you've listened to, hopefully, all of our podcasts, and you know that we're basically done. We've made our final listing, our final rankings of all the Bond movies, except for No Time to Die. God damn it. Yeah.
Sorry, that was my coronavirus acting up.
And so before we move on to, License to Watch, we kind of wanted to retrospectively look at the body of work that we've created and just kind of,
it, like some sort Discuss of, it. What's the word for it? Retrospective.
Yeah.
Of everything we've done so far.
Exactly.
Good job, Matt.
But I just imagine, you know, like the true hardcore fans, the listeners out there, when this ends, they listen to Vitamin C and Good Riddance and they cry.
Oh, like Tom R. Wentz.
Tom R. Wentz.
Tom, you don't have to cry.
If you're still listening, dude, thank you for being an epic part of our show.
I listened to you
over a year ago.
Listened to you today. Your guest appearance on our episode, I listened to it, and I liked it.
Was he the only guest we ever had on the show?
I think so, right?
We only had guests on our behind
bonus
the paywall
stuff.
Yeah. We don't talk about that.
No,
what else? We should give a shout out to C-Rock, who made some amazing beats for us over the time and was for a long time our engineer. And of course,
I guess we'll give a shout out to Tim.
Tim, who continues to make dope songs for us.
Mm-hmm. And who's the
as the kids call them
as
dope
the kids
songs?
As the kids say, the Reddit guy who made the one song for
he
us?
Made Skyfall.
Yeah, what was his name?
I forget, but he was great.
We didn't forget your name, guy. We didn't. He's lying.
We love you.
We're just too lazy to look it up.
We love you.
Well,
yeah, we totally know your name. We're just not saying it.
Yeah.
We didn't forget.
I'm looking at it right now. I refuse to say it.
It's in my head.
I thought it was like...
I'm trying to preserve your anonymity.
I thought he was like Super Blaster or something.
That isn't a name. That's like a power-up.
That isn't a name? You didn't go to high school with a kid named Super Blaster?
Wait, is that the full name or is that like the last name?
Super Blaster Jones.
Oh, it's a first name.
Yeah.
I thought it was like Gene Super Blaster. am I pronouncing that right? Ah, close enough.
It's French.
Yeah. I was trying to think of what he would want his name to be. We couldn't remember.
Oh, very good.
Oh, man. Well, okay, so this brings me, you mentioned, you know, behind the paywall. Come to think of it, these guys who don't pay for the $1 a month, you cheap-ass bastards, they don't know anything.
Thanks for nothing.
Yeah, you pieces of shit. Why are you guys even listening? Fuck you.
Please keep listening.
Yes.
Yeah, just kidding.
We need your support.
Please.
They don't know anything about License to Watch, so why don't we just, like, briefly, you know, catch them up to speed.
That's a good point. Why didn't we post the thing that we had a whole thing that explained it. We should have
quiet you.
Just put that from out from behind the paywall. So we're doing our new podcast is going to be called License to Watch. It'll involve some rebranding.
This is actually the last episode of Bondcast, James Bondcast. After this, you will continue to subscribe to this show, but don't be alarmed when you see on your podcast app that it's suddenly called License to Watch, because guess what? It's the same three jerk holes talking about movies.
And and Bondcast just won't make sense when we're talking about non-Bond movies.
Exactly. So.
Jerk hole's my middle name, too.
Super Blaster Jerk Hole Shaw.
But we're going to be concentrating on different franchises, and we're going to take turns picking them, kind of. We also had a fan vote from behind the paywall. We had a bunch of nominees that we liked. We're not going to go into all of them. But the one that won the fan vote was also the one that we felt pretty strongly about to start, except for Colin. That's right. And that one is Mission Impossible. So we will be doing the Tom Cruise Mission Impossible franchise coming up. That'll be our next major project. And then after that, we're on to different... we'll do another franchise after that, and so forth and so on. So you get the same great content, all the same comedy, jokes that don't land, digressions into stuff that nobody gives a shit about.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and yeah. Me talking over everyone for as long as you want.
Yeah,
we're just going to keep on doing it franchise after franchise after franchise until one of us dies. It's called a tontine. the last surviving member inherits
wins
the gold.
Nothing. Yeah.
No, a tauntaun is the animal you ride on the Hoth planet.
Right.
That's right, Colin. That's right. Here's something to play with. Here's a cup and ball.
It's shiny. So yeah, same format. We'll be talking about movies, new franchises. We'll have some special guests. We'll have some more content, right? We're going
to
be
true.
Doing
we're
it more
up our content a little bit.
Yep.
It's going to be coming out twice a month.
And other than that, same old bullshit.
Same old bullshit. The free stuff will be coming out. We're shooting for once every 2 weeks to have a new episode out. The stuff behind a paywall will also be twice a month, and there'll be a slightly different format for that, but there will still be great paid content if you guys want to spend. How much is it, Matt? $1 million?
No, it's a little bit
less. It
must
be at least 1,000.
We thought about doing that, but we figured, you know, we wanted to get a broader audience. So we dropped it down to one single doll hair.
One doll hair. A single dollar. Every month, only a dollar. $12 gets you
a
year's supply, which is, correct me if my math is wrong, 24 extra bonus episodes of content. Which is pretty good,
that's
right?
A
twice
lot.
A month, yeah,
yeah,
that's a lot.
I mean, $12. You're spending more at Mendocino Farms.
And I mean, we try to, like, we always set out to these bonus episodes. We're like, well, let's just get this over with. Let's make it quick. And then we start talking, and then stuff happens. Next thing you know, we got, you know, way more content than we know what to do with, and we just give it away to our paid subscribers, our Patreon subscribers. Mm-hmm.
Quite
and
honestly,
they never have to worry about what to listen
and
to.
And they never thank us ever.
Have you ever
that's
gone?
Not what I was saying.
Have you ever?
No,
gone
I mean
to
they
see...
thank us with their money, and yeah. That's the kind of thank you I can appreciate.
Yeah, the stuff that folds. Have you ever gone into a movie not knowing anything about it, and you're just in the movie theater, and you're just like, I have no idea about this plot, and you watch the movie and you enjoy it, and it's like, wow, that was crazy. You know, I didn't know.
I go into a lot of rooms like that.
I was going to try to make the same joke about you. I'm glad you beat me to it.
It's a totally different experience than knowing what you're in for.
Yeah.
I feel that way about our Patreon episodes. You go in, you have no fucking clue what we're going to talk about. Sometimes we talk about Bond. Sometimes we talk about cereal. Sometimes
you literally can never tell. Sometimes we set out to talk about one thing and it turns into something totally different.
That's the difference between the main License to Watch episodes and the Patreon stuff. You know, License to Watch, you know what movie we're going to talk about, and we're going to stick to that. For the most part.
And the Patreon, it's like a finger in the butt. It's a random
free.
Ambush. You never
yeah.
See it coming.
You might like it.
Yeah.
You might not
you might
like
be
it.
Into it. You might be like, hey, get that out of there. But you never know. You'll never know till you pay us $12 and try. Just like a finger in the butt.
Yep.
That's a great analogy, Harris.
A lot of people pay more for a finger in their butt.
Yeah. I mean, I do it for free, but geez, then what would I charge people for?
It depends whose finger, the length of the finger, the girth of the finger, quite honestly.
So that doesn't sum it all up. Let's just abandon ship and go back to the original plan of talking about the Bond movies that we watched.
Yes.
Yes. Retrospective.
Right. Yes. This is the retrospective. So, guys, we set out 2.5 years ago to watch a Bond movie once a month for 24 months in a row, leading up to the release of the 25th Bond movie. Twice we were sidelined by a release date change, and since then this podcast has spiraled into something else. We now do bonus episodes, we do mini episodes, we've
already done stuff outside of the canon. We've also done the Austin Powers series.
Yep, that's for Patreon subscribers. Yep. Only $1 a month.
Talked about intimate personal details.
Intimate personal details.
Fingers, butts, the whole gamut.
Yeah. I mean, where do you guys stand? Are you happy that you agreed to do this thing?
Are you asking me or the listeners?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Alex is shaking her head no.
Are you happy you were suckered into doing this?
Are you happy with your free job that you don't get paid for? Now Alex is just crying. Yeah. Sorry, Alex.
What are my feelings? I've gotten to know Harris a lot better.
Yeah.
And
any positives?
He hates that.
I feel like I know him less than I ever did.
People are strangers to me.
What else?
Everyone's literally sitting in the room staring at the ceiling right now. It's like, what?
I know it was good. I just, you know, I want to say that it was good in a way that the listeners will say to themselves, I'm a part of what's good.
You know, I thought it was really interesting just to revisit a series that I was so familiar with and that I enjoyed so much and was such an important, I mean, a big part of the reason we did this was because it was sort of an important series, a franchise for us growing up. We had a lot of fond memories of it. And when I look back on some of the episodes, like the GoldenEye episode in particular, was one where we talked a lot about the impact that had, because it's the, you know, even though there's a slight age difference, it was our first movie that we all saw in theaters of this franchise. But we all remember the TBS marathons and
Superstation.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's one of the interesting things is, like, I hadn't rewatched a lot of these. Some of these movies I don't think I'd ever seen. I think there was a couple of them. I don't remember now, but I do know at the time there was a few that I hadn't ever seen. And there was some that I only vaguely remembered from childhood. And it was fun to find, like, discoveries. Like, I forgot The Spy Who Loved Me was so freaking good, you know? Like, that is literally just one of the best movies ever. And I didn't remember that until I watched it. And having watched all the movies that came before it, up until that point, I was like, wow, this was a huge leap forward. And just, like, they figured out all the pieces and they put it all together.
Yeah, yeah.
Goldfinger, on the other hand, was one of my favorites that I think didn't age as well. It's still a great movie, but
there's something so great about, like, the length of this franchise giving us such a variety of, you know, quality as well as I don't know, different shades, different colors, different contexts, like, that we could talk about so many things, and we could, you know, have movies that we weren't all saying the same thing about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I think what's cool about this series is, like, had we done a retrospective on, like, you know, another long, like the Godzilla franchise, you know, there's like 30 of those movies, but ultimately it's just Godzilla fighting another monster, you know?
Yeah.
James Bond, at least, is, like, you know, it's of the times that it was made, and, like, there's something interesting that, you know, it's sort of a window into a different world, you know, a different time.
They have personality and they're the products of their environment in some ways. Like, we just, you know, talked about Moonraker for our last
episode.
And that's such a, like, was so much because Star Wars came out. They changed their whole plan. They made this, and, you know, they were clearly mirroring The Spy Who Loved Me, which was the previous movie. And because of Star Wars, they did it all wrong. I couldn't help it.
Disagree. But yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Bond is sort of a love letter to globetrotting and
expensive watches.
Yes. Yeah. Marketing.
Promiscuous sex.
Yeah.
Alcohol.
Yeah, it's wish fulfillment. for a lot of us. It's, I don't know. It's just a really cool series. It's just, and like, for as many stinkers as there are, I mean, looking at this list, we have more bad than good, but like something about this series, it keeps us interested, you know, and it keeps us.
It's kind of disappointing that there isn't something similar to what we used to do when we watched, like, you know, the Superstation, like 24 hours of Bond marathons. There's nothing like
a Bond channel that just.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, and we don't watch movie and TVs the same way anymore. So it's like, you know, it's everything is binged off the streaming service. That's not the same thing.
Yeah, like I have access to every episode of The Simpsons, something I've dreamed of my whole life, and I don't ever watch it. You know, like too much of a good thing is
when I first got that when the Disney streaming thing came out. I did just have The Simpsons playing.
Yeah, I watched nonsense.
I think I watched like the first 5 seasons or something before I was finally like, okay, that might be enough Simpsons for now. But
I got into like 10. I think I skipped too far. I think I skipped like 1, 2, 3.
Gone to Plaid.
I think I went to 4.
The second one is actually, see, having rewatched them, the first one season is terrible. The second one actually starts to get decent and starts to turn into what the series would become. And then the third one is actually where it gets good. You'd forget how many classic episodes though are actually already in the second season. They figured it out pretty quick. Yeah. But I want to go back to what you said about there's more bad than good, because I'm looking at our amalgamated ratings, and
I should say there's more mediocre
in
than
a score
than
of
good.
Yeah, a score out of 10. More of these are 6 and up than anything. Now that's partially because you guys just are softies, but I officially, Colin only gave one thing a bad review. Do you remember which one, Colin? It's not in the canon.
Well, that gives it away.
Say never?
No, Casino Royale.
Oh, that Casino
That Royale. Is, you gave it a 003 is your, by far your lowest score. Even the ones
that
you don't
insane,
like.
Though.
Even the ones you don't. Well, we all gave it a bad score. I gave that a 002. Matt gave that a 001. Matt only gave the movies like two movies bad scores. That one and A View to a Kill. I was far more liberal with my bad scores.
I think I always imagine that another person, like just a random person, is having to watch the movie, but they're getting to watch it with me, and I could save any movie.
As we've learned from this podcast, we know that is true. Yeah.
At least in your own mind.
Yeah. Harris, I for as much as you talk negatively, I think you only gave out 4 bad scores. You know,
that's true.
4 in the red. I gave out 2,
and I stand by those 4. I feel like we
double each other. Double Colin, and you double me.
Yeah, I feel like I was a little. In retrospect, I was a little harsh on Tomorrow Never Dies. I really do feel that way. That was not a 002, but I think that was in response to you guys giving that a 008 because it's not that either.
Yeah, you're very reactionary.
Well, I didn't always go last. I didn't always go last, but when you guys come bombing in with a, like, honestly,
just because you didn't go last doesn't mean you're not doing it reactionarily.
Well, I couldn't have predicted what you guys are going to do.
As soon as we say the first full sentence about what we think about the movie, you're already affecting your rating.
I never know what you guys are going to go with, though. Although I guess it's safe to assume that you're always going to give stuff an 8 or a 9 because you gave more than half these movies 8s or 9s.
More than half.
And Matt on the other
That's
hand,
pretty soft.
Matt on the other hand, 10, 10, 10,
3 tens,
9, 8, 8, 8, 8, 9, 9, 7, 8, 8. Like,
yeah.
Matt almost did like half of them 8 or higher.
I think Colin and I saw eye to eye for a lot of this shit.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Everything's great and I love everything. That was the eye level you guys were at.
So should we read down the rankings and see if we agree with the list?
Sure.
Well, I guess we'll go.
Are you starting with first or are you starting with last?
Let's go with last.
Yeah.
Since you already mentioned Casino Royale. So next up, of the canon, or I guess of everything, A View to a Kill.
I, in retrospect, feel like I would. So
it's just so long and Bond is so old and it's so
long. I just don't believe that this is a worse movie than Octopussy. And or Die Another Day. And honestly, my ratings bear that out because I actually gave it a higher score than Octopussy and the same score as Die Another Day. I'm not going to argue that it's a good movie, but Christopher Walken alone saves this one for me. and it's like over the top and stupid.
And
the song, well, I'm not even a big fan of the song, but I love the song is great. I like elements of it, the finale, and I just think there's
the finale is
the
best part.
Yeah,
everything else is shit.
Yeah,
the whole like chase with the on the fire truck. And
it's all walking.
The fire truck.
It's all walking.
So bad.
But I do love the walking part enough
that
I just
when
I
that
just
blimp
feel like
was coming at her. Why didn't she run to the left? Or
oh yeah,
right?
No, it's absurd. But if I had to choose between watching a 108-year-old Roger Moore in Octopussy in clown face, frantically trying to defuse a stupid bomb, and the two knife throwers with the hairdos and all the other stupid things in Octopussy. Or 109-year-old Roger Moore fighting Christopher Walken in A View to a Kill, I would always, every single time, 10 times out of 10, take
View to a
Kill.
The sad truth of it all is that as bad as that clown getup is, he gets some of his best acting in that scene. Do you remember?
Yeah, because he literally looks like he's freaking the hell out.
Yeah.
Which is, I just think back to Sean Connery defusing a nuclear weapon in Goldfinger.
Keeping his shit together.
Keeping his shit together. And I'm like, this isn't James Bond. James Bond isn't losing his mind, you know, screaming
well,
for everyone to get out.
To his credit, there were people, and he was trying to get them out.
Yeah. You know what he could help with? Is, like, make sure the bomb doesn't go off. Keep your shit together. Save the people. Don't just freak out and scream like a, like, just don't just run around screaming fire in a crowded circus tent. Anyways.
I just,
now we're rehashing.
Thinking about Roger Moore and the clown makeup is very triggery for me. I'm just trying to, like, mentally step away from this.
Yeah. Anyways, so that would be my only quibble there is I think A View to a Kill should be above Octopussy, but we all agree that they're both terrible.
Yeah. Next up is Octopussy. So, I mean, why is Octopussy in our why did it end up higher on this list than View to a Kill?
Isn't the first act good?
I can explain that to you.
Like the first 20
Colin
minutes.
Colin gave it a 5.
I gave it a 5?
Yes. Well, you gave A View to a Kill 5 too, so it's not like that's like
yeah. So what's the problem?
It's because I hated on View to a Kill. I gave it a 2.
It's because
that's one.
Oh, so I guess it's your fault.
Yeah, it is. That's one that when I was a kid, I liked View to a Kill a lot. But as an adult revisiting it, I was like, oh my God.
We should point out that 5 is like Colin's base score. Just like he will never give any Bond movie a 10, he will also never give it lower than a 5 if it's an official
it's
Bond
true.
Movie.
He never gave anything less than a 5 except for Casino Royale,
which doesn't count. Yeah. This is the problem.
Wait, because you're using the amended ratings from the Redux.
Oh, that's right. You did have From Russia with Love lower initially.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I bumped it up to 5.
Yeah,
and
from a 4,
and I bumped Honor Majesty's Secret Service up to 5.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
All right. So after Octopussy,
it's a baseline 5 for me.
Our favorite movie after Octopussy is Die Another Day.
Which I have a fondness for this that I cannot explain.
What the fuck is happening to you?
It's such a bad movie. This is the appropriate place for it. It is one of the worst Bond movies ever. But when I think back to Gustav Graves and his Nintendo Power Glove thing and the Rosamund Pike fight scene Halle Berry, there's something about it. And even the stupid sword fight that's totally nonsensical that comes out of nowhere in the middle of the movie, I enjoyed all those things.
It's a really good try.
It is a really good try.
You know, like, It's a great attempt.
Harris is like skipping around the room over here.
It's almost like the you know, like I hated the cold open because it has all its stupid stuff in it with the windsurfing and whatever, kite surfing.
No, just regular surfing.
Just regular surfing. Also kite surfing.
That's
later.
Yes, later in the movie. Yeah, but also awful.
I hate the cold open because it has something that happens 40 minutes later in it.
But also
it's more than 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's
in the third
it's
act.
Like an hour and a half. Yes.
Oh, it might be more than that. It's like 2 hours because the movie is very long. Yeah. But also, it's got that rad hovercraft sequence. Even the song, which is terrible. Kind of gets stuck in your head a little bit.
Die another day.
It's not as good as Ray Light, though.
Yeah. So I guess that's how I feel about the movie. In spite of myself, I actually enjoy it more than this rating would suggest.
Uh-huh. Well, if we ever feel up to it, maybe we could revisit that one for fun. Five months from now or something.
I mean, I actually have watched that movie since.
You fucking weirdo.
I was just on. It was on Netflix, and I was like, that wasn't that bad. I just put it on one night when I was going to bed, and I was like, oh, it's pretty good.
But all the Brosnan ones are on Netflix.
Yeah.
And you picked that one.
I know. It was just, it popped up, and I was just like,
Have you ever done that, though? Like, I'll see something on Netflix and be like, yeah, I want to watch this. And I start watching, like, the first 5 minutes, and then I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I like turn it off.
Oh, yeah,
I,
of course I've done that.
I watched, since we did Diamonds Are Forever, which is one of the ones that we like, kind of, But I have since turned that on like whatever, I can't remember what it was on, but it was on something. And I just used to, I would turn it on, and for like three nights in a row, every time I turned on the TV, it was always like I would fall asleep, but it was always there again. When I turned the TV back on, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go again. Just kept on watching it.
You're like a fish who keeps biting the same hook.
Yeah, exactly. Tasted great last time.
All right, here's a good one. After Die Another Day, next up is On Her Majesty's Secret Service, a movie that formerly was way lower. Now it's nestled gently between Die Another Day and Man with the Golden Gun. How do
Which
you guys
feels
feel
an appropriate
that?
Place. For, I mean, we've
below
already,
Golden Gun?
It's below it, yeah.
Golden Gun's pretty bad. I feel like we overrated
it. Oh, no,
it.
It's tied, actually.
Because it's got some...
Oh,
it's,
yeah,
it's
it tied.
With, it's tied with Golden Gun.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
And we already reviewed this movie twice, so I don't think we need to spend a whole lot of time on it. But yes, wait, we were too harsh the first time.
It's tied, but the only reason it's ranked lower is because we chose to revoke the license to watch.
Oh, yeah, right.
Where it's for... Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, they're both revoked.
They're both revoked. I'm sorry, I was reading it wrong. Yeah. Yeah, so they're just straight up tied.
Yep.
Yeah, how come it's revoked when there's no voked?
I mean, that's like a linguistic anomaly that is kind of common. That there's there.
I just want to voke something.
But there probably was a voke at one point, and then okay. That fell out of favor, and now we all know what revoke means, but we don't know what voke means. I'm sure there was a word somewhere in our history that was voke.
I want to voke.
Yeah, I'm voke.
Hey, let's
as
bring
fuck.
It back.
Yeah.
Let's
I
bring
voke
back.
You this pen here.
Yeah. Every time we give somebody, we're just going to voke it to them.
Make a sticker on election day, and then somebody will walk by like, oh, good, you voted. Wait, that says you voked.
Did I ever?
Just wear a sticker that says I voked all the time. So On Her Majesty's Secret Service. I think when we watched it the first time, we were hating on it pretty hard. And we came
it's
to our
easy
senses.
To hate.
Yeah,
it's easy to hate, but
it's
just,
also
it,
long.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be higher than this, but this is the appropriate place. We got it right eventually.
Yeah. So then up is, as we said, Man with the Golden Gun.
Also not a great movie.
It has some classic, like, memorable things, yep. But as a movie, it's not
yeah.
Good.
It has iconic moments. I even like the Hervey Villachez bottle throwing thing at the end. But
it says something when you can close your eyes and hear the name of a movie and like see it. You could see, like, the look, like, the Thailand or what is it,
and
wherever they shot, you know?
And it has that.
Great theme song. I think Christopher Lee's really good in it.
Great theme song?
I mean...
I don't remember the song, better, first of all.
Man with the Golden Gun.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, because they use the theme in the movie, too. Yeah.
Yeah. It had its good points.
That one was another, like, it was a good try, but they didn't...
Also, so, Christopher Lee is Ian Fleming's like cousin or something, right?
And was originally considered for Dr. No.
Hmm.
A bit of trivia. This next one surprised me that it was higher than some of the ones below it. And that makes sense since I gave it the lowest score of the three of us. Thunderball. Oh, right. If you like slow-moving scuba fights, this is the movie for you. Thunderball, if you like 2.5-hour movies that feel like four, watch Thunderball.
It's a very wet movie.
Yeah.
This is another kind of iconic one also because Connery is like the first face of Bond. And
yeah.
This is, you know.
It's like a classic Bond
right
movie even
vein.
Though it doesn't do anything to be a classic Bond movie. It just sort of exists.
Yeah.
And I remember really liking the girl in that one.
Yeah. And, you know, Tom Jones holding that note.
Tom Jones.
Oh,
Tom.
Yeah. Thunderball.
Also, do we get a little trench in this one? Is that
Did we fall deep into the trench?
What's the other Sylvia Trench movie?
No, she's
Russia
in
with Love, and isn't she in one more?
Goldfinger? No, wait.
It has to be before From Russia with Love.
It's Dr. No.
Oh, is it?
And then she's in the beginning.
So
of
she's
From
in
Russia
the first
Love.
Two.
Yeah.
James Bond's off.
They always come back to the
off
trench.
Forever,
they
girlfriend.
Always come back to the trench, then.
And then with this basically the same score tied. Also barely issued license to watch, You Only Live Twice. What is You Only Live Twice about? Can anybody summarize this
Japan
one for
one.
Me? Oh, right. All I can ever remember on this one is that I really like the theme song, so I'm always a big fan.
Yeah, and
fan
Bond it goes in yellow face.
Didn't you rate it higher than we did?
I believe I probably did. How much higher?
You did. You gave it a 6, and we gave it a 5.
Yeah, so that makes sense. I liked it slightly more than you guys, mostly because of the song.
Yeah.
I really like the girl in that one, how she swims like 10 miles.
Just yeah. It has its moments. That's not totally stupid. I feel like if we watched that one again, we'd probably like it a little
more. It's the first time you see Blofeld, and it's like one of the cooler looking Blofelds.
It's the yellow face thing, though, for me, is like, it looks so bad.
Yeah.
Was it long, too? It might have felt long.
Is this the one where he tries, an assassin tries to kill Bond by like
dripping poison
into his mouth? Yeah.
Yeah. It's super duper long, too. There's all that when they can't find the volcano base and they're just like flying around, like, we can't find it.
Yeah.
It's like, the audience knows what it's a volcano base already. Like, just fucking,
just find it already. So.
Then, surpassing this movie is Never Say Never Again, a non-canon adventure, bringing back Sean Connery.
But you were busting my balls about giving this a 5. You guys both gave this a 6. This is
Never Say Never?
Yeah.
All I think of is that video charming game scene.
Yeah.
There's something charming about him coming back to the role after so much time.
I thought it was interesting because it was sort of an upgraded action movie version of Bond to like more reflect the time period, which the actual series didn't do until like Timothy Dalton,
pretty much.
So I thought it was interesting to see like well in advance of that, Sean Connery kind of, or slightly in advance of that, Sean Connery kind of pioneering that like, hey, it's fucking machine guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the ending was cool.
The video game thing is a classic. That's an iconic.
I just like them launching themselves sideways out of the chair when they get electrocuted too much. So stupid. that was enjoyable. Yes. Yeah. Young Kim Basinger.
Yeah, it's a remake of Thunderball, which is two movies below this, which is interesting.
So they improved it.
Mm-hmm. For Your Eyes Only is up next.
Another great theme song. Honestly, I think the theme songs disproportionately affect my judging of these things.
I can't believe For Your Eyes Only is so high because I remember being the only one who liked that one at all, and you guys hated it.
Well,
we all gave it a 6.
Yeah, everyone gave it a 6.
Oh, that's weird. Right.
But a 6 is like
that. Actually,
it's just the hockey part in that one is so stupid.
That's opposite because a 6 for you is like your second lowest score.
Yeah. I don't know. I barely remember that movie.
I just remember being the only one defending it. The hockey thing is so stupid.
I mean,
I love the ice skater girl and the other girl with the crossbow.
I like that stuff, too. I think, honestly, this might have even been higher for me if it wasn't for the cold open, which is the Blofeld getting dumped into a chimney.
Oh, that sucks.
Can I buy you a
so
delicatessen?
Bad.
Yeah. And, but this is the one where he's like the... is this the one where he's like the fake pilot? Is that...
What do you mean, the fake pilot?
Where he's got to like... Where the guy's got to... I can't remember.
This is one where they climb the mountain at the end.
So they start.
It starts with
that woman's family getting murdered on a boat.
Oh yeah,
right.
And it zooms into her face. I love
that
shot.
Yeah. No, I think this is a pretty good one. I mean, a 6 for me is actually not a bad score. That means I like
From Russia with Love is up next. That was another one that was formerly a stinker.
Got boosted, yeah. And we talked about that a lot, like one episode ago. So.
Yeah, I mean,
move along.
It's a movie that I think is a classic, and for good reason. It's like one of the early ones, and like the early ones just kind of get a pass because they're the early ones, you know. And like a lot of the shit that we're used to comes from this movie in particular.
Yeah, but as opposed to Thunderball, which I think gets slotted into that it's a classic category, but doesn't really earn it. This one does a lot of things that ended up were the prototypical tropes that happen later. And I think Red Grant is a fun villain, even though he gets killed off too early in the movie.
Yeah, it's really this movie and Goldfinger that like set the precedent.
Yes.
But Goldfinger just did it
so much better.
Yeah. Then we have Dr. No, again, case in point. It's an early one. I mean, you know, a lot of the things were different back then and they didn't really have anything to refer to. But
it set the standard.
Good,
yeah. And it established Connery as a star and the guy that can carry this.
This podcast.
That's true. That's a big deal. Definitely a point in its favor.
It was the first. That makes a lot of sense.
Then we have The Living Daylights. I'm kind of surprised that this is.
I like The Living Daylights.
I mean,
clearly you gave
your
it an
score.
Eight.
Yeah, you gave it an 8, and we gave it 005s.
Oh, that's the only reason it's up here.
Yes, that's true. It would definitely be lower than some of these other. Listen, hey, I do like the Dalton. I think Dalton was a good Bond. I like the Dalton Bond movies. I didn't like this one quite as much as Colin did, clearly, I think if Colin had given this a 7, I don't know where I went in the order of scores, but this might have been artificially bumped down if Colin gave this an 8 before I gave it my score, because I do remember this. Okay, it had those goofy moments, but even the goofy moments like the sledding and the cello case were kind of
working. Sledding in the cello case is great. Just that the villains are
bad.
But
yeah.
Not good.
Yep.
They're almost good, but they're kind of trying to
They're too Brad goofy. Whitaker. Yeah. Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to make a villain in the aggregate of like the three villains,
yeah.
But they don't have like the super villain.
Yeah, that if they had one competent bad guy in this, I would have given it a higher score.
All.
It's a
yeah.
fun movie.
But the villains are funny and like fun to like hate on. So that
I do think
for me, I love it.
I think yeah. the girl in this is really attractive.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. This is a good Bond girl. There was a lot going. Like honestly, how hard is it to just get a halfway decent villain? You know, like one good villain, and it kind of ruined the whole climax of the movie that he didn't have anybody good to fight at the end.
Yeah.
You spend all this time establishing him as a badass, and then he doesn't have anyone
there's
good to go
cool
up against. There's
a cool car chase on the snow and ice.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff in this movie.
They made up for the lack of a villain in spades with the next film. Or the next Timothy Dalton film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's a great villain.
But the next film on our list.
Tomorrow Never Dies?
It's Tomorrow Never Dies.
Oh, I guessed it.
Yeah, good job.
I think that one also has a great villain. It's really helped.
Oh, yeah.
Elliot Carver.
I would have to re-listen to this podcast to see what my rationale is. But I suspect that I was so appalled by you guys giving this like a...
Yeah, I don't know what your deal was.
Slightly above average movie, a 008.
If we did this one again, I would probably rate it higher.
I think I had like legitimate complaints about it, but I think I probably would have given it like a 4 or something. In the back of my mind, this doesn't feel like a 002 to me, but I think it was in...
You're
the one
over there watching
I
Die
probably
Another
went,
Day.
I probably went last. I probably went last in this one.
I can't help but think of my disappointment as a kid when I first saw this in the theater, knowing that GoldenEye being the only one I'd seen at that point, and like loving that movie so much, and then just recognizing that Tomorrow Never Dies like is a step down in quality in some way. Even like the music is different, like the direction, like there's something about it.
Yeah.
And... it's a little cornier, you know, the villain is like a little more comic bookish.
I know when I saw this in the same context as a follow-up to GoldenEye, I hated it completely. And a lot of it was Elliot Carver just didn't scare. It's like, oh, he's a technocrat billionaire that wants to control newspapers? What the
scare you.
This is
it
not
should
scary.
Scare you now.
Well, I didn't know it was a real thing that was going to happen in the future. I didn't know it was predictive. And also they had Ricky Jay in it, and Ricky Jay's awesome, but he doesn't do any magic and nothing cool happens with him. And he just, I don't know. I had a lot of problems with it. I think I was harsh
Delicious.
On this, but I feel like it ended up in the right, I feel like it ended up in the right place in spite of my low score. I think the overall score of this one is
I think about him saying delicious like that all the time.
Delicious.
Up next, we're entering the solid gold, we've color-coded here, and we're leaving the mediocre color of yellow, and we're entering the...
green is for go.
Green is for go, yeah.
Which somehow Moonraker slipped in here, despite my...
Is that where we're at?
That's where we're at, Moonraker.
Nice. Just like the Moonraker moons and something else, because it's hard to remember
God.
The words.
Bad song, bad cold open, bad so many things. So many things.
Just awesome space battle.
And
hilarious
yet, yes, and
jokes.
And yet, it had three good things about it. I can't remember what they are, but that's why I gave it a 003. One for each good thing. The sets Drax. I don't know. Jaws's girlfriend's boobs. I guess I don't remember what it was.
That's probably it.
But it was probably something like that. The Q button at the end. I think he's attempting reentry.
Oh yeah, the reentry
yeah.
line.
That gives us solid gold
yes,
status
fantastic.
Right there.
Yeah. And then after that,
delicious.
That should just be like a button we push. Like, no. Delicious.
The
we
next,
get the real soundbite.
The next film up on the list, which if I were to redo this, this is the one rating that I really screwed up on. Diamonds Are Forever should definitely be higher. I've seen.
What did you rate it an 8 already?
I rated it a 6.
Oh, boo.
I know. And you know what? And you know what? I rated it a 6 because of all the goofiness. But the goofiness works in this movie, and I'm big enough to admit when I'm wrong. If we had it to do over again, this would be a 007 for me. I think this is a wonderful film that's definitely worth watching. 006 isn't bad for me. That's a decent score. I didn't have a whole lot of scores higher than 006. But, yeah, I feel like
Diamonds Are Forever is a classic.
Yeah, a classic.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And I love the...
Got anything, Baja.
I always think about him stealing the... the moon lander and yeah. driving it out in the desert, and it's just such a dumb thing.
They're chasing him on a fake moon lander through the desert.
Yeah, it's like the studio back lot where he's busting through doors, and there's like, it's so stupid. And then like the cold open, which is just him traveling around the world punching guys in the face.
And women.
Yeah, and women.
Oh god. But I really do enjoy that one. That was
I love that this movie maintained the button ending of like one final villain that you forgot about coming back. And it's the Dr. Mr. Kid and Mr. Wint,
the first openly gay assassins in a Bond movie. Yeah.
Try to kill him with kebabs?
Yeah, the skewers.
And one of them is Crispin Glover's dad, and now that I know that, I can't unsee it because he looks exactly like Crispin Glover. He's like a short Crispin Glover. We didn't cover this at the time. We somehow missed this.
Wait, Crispin Glover is...
The dad from Back to the Future.
Crispin
McFly.
Glover's dad, who looks exactly like a short, stockier version of him.
It's not the guy with the page boy haircut, right? It's the other
it's
guy.
Not the guy with the balding head
and
the mustache.
The
right.
It's the shorter one who looks like a short Crispin Glover. If we looked it up, you guys would see it, and it was... it's the guy who gets his tux pulled between his legs.
Yeah,
and
one guy has like long hair and a mustache.
Yeah, one guy's balding and with long hair and a mustache, and he's the bigger guy.
That's not the guy.
And the
that's
other
the
guy
blonde.
Is a shorter
the
guy.
Yeah. Okay.
If you say so. They both look dark, like brown.
Oh, I remember. I got a picture of them up on my wall.
anyways, great. Also, this has a great opening title sequence. Just like a great like standard Maurice Binder silhouettes and whatever, but they do a lot of fun stuff with it.
Yeah, and the song is good too.
Yes.
Then next up, another Timothy Dalton joint, License to Kill,
which I liked. Colin gave this a very low score of a 6, which is basically like saying he hates it and wishes it would disappear. and I thought this was a good badass.
It needed a lot more Wayne Newton. It needed more
Wayne Newton as a cult leader or whatever.
Yeah,
solid
something Butcher, Reverend Butcher.
Yeah,
all-time classic scene. Bond is driving a semi-truck at a guy with a rocket launcher.
Amazing.
The guy shoots the rocket launcher at Bond. Bond just puts the semi-truck on two wheels, and the rocket goes right by and hits the baddies.
We could spend all the time dissecting the physics and logistics of that stupid thing that happened that you just described, but it was badass, so I'm keeping it. it's amazing.
It's probably my favorite part of that movie.
A young Benicio Del Toro as a badass henchman.
The girl in it's cool, too.
Katana from Mortal Kombat. Yeah,
yep.
With the short hair.
And and the girl from Law & Order is in it, too, with the short hair. And then we have Robert Davi.
Yeah, he's a good villain.
As a very good villain. So
he's basically Pablo Escobar.
Yeah, very well done.
And his death is horrific. And a lot of the deaths in that movie.
Yeah, that's
horrific.
A brutal one.
Benicio del Toro gets
eaten up by
the guy in the
mulcher.
Microwave thing.
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah, it gets exploded.
Yeah.
Oh God.
How's the little weenie little accountant guy die? I don't even remember that.
Oh, he has a cool death. I think Robert Davi just shoots him or something. I love when the top villain kills their own people.
What about the security head of security who gets impaled by the forklift? That one's got some brutal. There's five brutal deaths in
was
that
this one rated R? I feel like
I don't know, but it was a rough been. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was the '80s, so who the hell knows? Yeah.
Next up is our first Daniel Craig, the lowest ranked of all the Daniel Craig
what
movies.
What is it called, Colin? I'm gonna let you do this one.
Oh, what movie was it?
It's Quantum.
No, it's not Quantum. It's Spectre.
Oh, right. Sorry. I was reading this wrong.
What the hell, Harris?
That's why I was like, why does he want him to say the name? It's a very simple word to say.
Oh, I thought they were tied. Sorry.
They are not tied.
Well, Spectre's first.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, I mean, it's not as bad as I thought it was when I first saw it on the theaters.
Yeah, same. It's got problems. Like, it's one of those things that, like, I feel like a lot of these movies, when you watch them, you're like, yeah, this is good. I don't see what people are talking about.
I stand by my 005. I think it's average.
Yeah, it's pretty average. But, I mean,
you gave it a 009, I'd like to point out. So you clearly thought
it
was
a little
above
and
average.
I appreciate, like, the opening scene. I think that's really cool.
It checks all the boxes.
It just doesn't. So good, though.
Yeah. It just doesn't do any of them well. You actually gave every Daniel Craig movie
a 9 or a 10. Did I really?
Yes. You have a huge Daniel Craig heart.
No, I gave Quantum an 8. I'm sorry. No, I'm looking at Colin's. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I gave everything a 9.
I think the visual style of Spectre is really good. It's just tough that it was right next to Skyfall, which has probably the best visuals.
The visual style and, of and also James checks Bond all or, the classic Bond boxes and is a much better movie. So, yeah, it just suffers by comparison, I think.
I think Quantum falls in that same category, too, that like it is better than people actually perceive it to be, but it comes right after Casino Royale. And
That one definitely suffered. But that one actually like took some big... What I liked about it is it wasn't trying to check boxes, because Casino Royale did something like different and was different than most Bond movies, and it worked. And I think Quantum was like trying to, you know, do something different as well. And it took big swings. It didn't really land a lot of punches, but it like was trying something interesting, which I respect more than...
And it has your all-time favorite villain, the General.
Oh yeah, the General. Oh god, I was like the little guy with the axe at the end. no Yeah, honestly, weak villains hurt that one too. That would probably be higher for me if it had a single good villain.
I feel like it's either the villain that can like match both wits and like brawn with Bond, or you have like a sniveling like Brainiac.
Yeah, but
you
gotta be
guy,
good at the sniveling Brainiac stuff. Like, yeah.
I think the real villain in that one was Opera, if I'm not mistaken.
And the real villain was editing.
Yeah, that's true.
That's more true. The real nemesis was coherent editing.
Yeah.
Then we have The World Is Not Enough.
Which surprisingly was one of the best ones. Really good.
I'm down with it. Once again, I've got gripes. This would definitely be a 007, 008 easily, were it not for Dr. Christmas Jones.
I was just going to say, Denise Richards.
Yeah.
If GoldenEye hadn't been so good, it would have been peak Brosnan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, this was definitely Brosnan's second best outing.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for Dr. Christmas Jones, I swear this would be, like, boosted into my...
But you also love that she's in that.
Yeah, she's so hot, but so bad.
Well, you know, she's not really my type, so I don't even get that benefit of finding Denise Richards attractive. Just, I think she seems like a nice person, but I'm kind of out on Denise Richards as an actress, and on any level, so...
Have you seen Wild Things?
I have seen Wild Things,
Have you heard about the
movie
where...
I was like, why aren't they showing Neve Campbell more?
Have you heard about the movie where the ghost of her boyfriend goes into an animatronic T-Rex?
Yes,
I
want to
see that.
Yeah, I think we should
probably
watch
that. Playing
at
the Alamo. So
Is it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And it's like the restored version that's like NC-17 or something. It's
Which
like super violent.
Both bizarre and horrifying. And I feel like this should be a field trip.
It's we should do it. Bonus episode.
Oh, also, good opening theme song in this one. I feel like the theme song is always worth like
a point.
A good theme song always boosts it a little more. Yes, we are. Oh, should we do like a top 10 countdown?
We are in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
We're at top 6
right now. Well, World Is Not Enough was 7. We'll do a top 5. So this is number 6. It's Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die.
The numbers because
thrown off by 2.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Live and Let Die is great.
Yeah.
I think for at least some of my life, it was my favorite one. It's so hard to pick favorites, though.
I think it's my favorite of the Roger Moore era. Oh, no, not because The Spy Who Loved Me is on there. But it's like, it's funny how he came out into the role really, really strong. And that was important because he had to sell that he was a new James Bond. And they just did such a good job with that. And it's also like the least goofy of all the Roger Moore ones. So obviously that appeals to me. But I also thought it was interesting that they go to, Harlem, and they have all this, like, they've got some really memorable villains. Even the henchmen are all pretty memorable, except
Whisper.
For fucking Whisper, the you useless
fat
sack of
bastard.
Shit. You can do nothing right. But you had the guy with the claw, and you had Baron Samedi.
Kananga and Baron Samedi.
Oh, just great villains.
The worst part is Kananga blowing up at the end. It
just makes no
sense.
But still awesome.
Teehee, Whisper.
Teehee.
Yep. That's right.
Oh. Yeah, the fight on the train with
when
that
he runs
guy
across
the
alligators.
Oh, isn't your favorite the what's his name?
J.W. Pepper.
J.W. Pepper.
Well, he was also in what was the other one? Man with the
Golden Gun.
Yeah.
We failed.
Which didn't make sense because why would he go to fucking Asia after that?
They were making
that
him like a recurring comedic relief character, which is just so stupid.
All right, now we're in the top 5.
The top 5. Which also I'd like to point out, through no machinations of our own, we have a representative of all the four major bonds made it into our top five.
Not Dalton.
No, but I'm just saying the four ones that did like a significant amount of movies, because Dalton only did two movies. So
yeah. Okay, cool.
He only did one more than
The other guy.
Than the other guy, Lazenby.
George Lazenby, yeah.
Yeah.
We're still saying his fucking name wrong.
George Lazenby.
Which I actually, I mean, I think Dalton was much better, and I think he would have definitely done more, but he didn't, so here we are. But of the four guys who basically carried the mantle for the whole time, each one of them had at least one movie in our top 10, which seems appropriate.
In our top five, you mean?
Top five, yeah.
Top five, yeah.
Who has two?
Craig.
Craig.
Craig has two.
Who is, I think, the best you Bond? Are, that makes sense.
You guys are a couple Craig lovers.
Yeah. Well, I'm nowhere near the Craig lover that Matt is. Mr. Tens over here. So, number five.
Goldfinger.
Only because it hasn't aged well. I feel like there's like the sexism and a lot of the other stuff in it. Some of the effects and the logistics of the thing just don't hold up. But it is the one that established, like, here is what the perfect Bond movie would look like. This is a blueprint for, like, how to nail it.
Yeah, totally. From, it set
the villain, the henchmen, set the tone, Bond girls.
Yeah.
It's got all the iconic, like, looks, you know.
Opening title sequence, everything just.
Yep. The song is classic. They brought her back for Moonraker, Shirley Bassey. And
Not Moonraker. Oh, yeah, it was Moonraker. Oh, my God. They should have given her a better song, though.
She was supposed to come back for GoldenEye, or wasn't she?
Yeah, I think it was GoldenEye, and they gave it to Tina Turner instead.
Yeah. Yeah, it's classic. I'm surprised that it's fifth. That like this next movie we're gonna do beat it, but I'm not that surprised.
I wouldn't have if you had asked me in advance. I would have said Goldfinger's in the top three for sure.
Yeah.
And yet, even though this is an amalgamated vote between the three of us, it still would have been out of my top three. Because this movie was better, and I never would have guessed it.
Yeah,
Spy Who Loved Me,
number four.
Mm-hmm. Nobody does it better.
Great song.
Yeah,
the song.
Great song.
It.
Great opening titles. Great
cold open.
Just everything about this movie fucking rocks.
I think personally that Drax is a better version of this villain.
Yes.
But
yes.
Yeah, he is.
I think
Strongberg is. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Is he the one with the fish logo?
Yeah, he's
sleeps,
the fish.
He sleeps. He fucks him. Yeah, he fucks the fish.
He fucks fish.
What was the joke that we had about you? That it was like Fish World or something.
Yeah. It was also one of our better podcasts, Fish World. And he also had
Fish World from one before that, and we like.
And we it might have been from Thunderball, and we just revisited it.
Yeah, I think it was that.
He also, I'll tell you another reason he wasn't as good as Drax is because he wanted to create this better society, but he only brought dudes. didn't think that far ahead about like how these people are going to reproduce.
Drax, or the actor who plays Drax, got the better deal in that he got to hang out with a bunch of like hot chicks every day on set. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. But yeah, The Spy Who Loves Me is a classic and honestly one of the all time. And it's another one that just sort of set a new standard for here's all the boxes we have to check. And then they kept on chasing that with the Roger Moore ones to diminishing returns, I think, a lot of times.
Yeah, totally.
For sure.
Next up, number three, Skyfall.
Yep. This one surprised me too. How much I like these. This one and Spy Who Loved Me, I wouldn't have guessed would have been so high for me.
Yeah, going into this, I knew Skyfall was good, but I thought it was problematic.
I'm sorry.
I was gonna say just like watching it again, those problems were whisked away.
I think this one actually has more like cultural penetration than Casino Royale does. I feel like more people who are outside of the Bond fandom, they know Casino Royale is good and respected as that one, but they actually have more knowledge of Skyfall. More of them have seen it.
It might have been a bigger hit. I think you're right, although every time I see like a top 10 list or whatever, Casino Royale is always very commonly, usually is higher than Skyfall. But I do think, like, in terms of like general populace,
fans, though,
yeah, I do think Skyfall is more well known. I thought what brought me around on it, I think I had coming off of Quantum of Solace, which was a disappointment. I think I had sort of a negative when I first saw Skyfall, sort of a negative view of it. Mm. And watching it again, kind of with clear eyes, first of all, it is gorgeous, it's the best looking Bond movie. Far and away. But I also kind of respected the fact that after trying new things with Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace, working in one didn't work as well in the other. Skyfall is really like, hey, let's make that classic Bond film that checks all the Bond boxes and does it like the old versions and just put our new Daniel Craig era spin on it. And I thought they really nailed that. Like, how do we make the old Bond updated into this new movie? And this is where they really figured out how to do it without changing the old formula.
Yeah. I mean, Casino Royale did something different where they didn't have Q. They didn't have, like,
they
a lot of
they rebooted it.
Yeah.
It was an origin story.
And I think Quantum of Solace missed the boat, where it had the opportunity to introduce all those characters and to bring it sort of back and to say, like, hey, here, like, exactly.
Because you can't
you
do an
said,
origin
Skyfall
story
does.
Every time.
Right. And then because of that, I think Skyfall, like, swept in and did that and, like,
yeah.
did it great.
And they inverted the classic trope of the big battle at the hideout. The hideout becomes Bond's hideout instead of the enemy.
They still had the big invasion battle. It was just flipped on its head, which I think is really clever. They basically, I mean, they course corrected, not that Quantum of Solace was that bad, but they course corrected about as well as you can here. And obviously
they didn't paint a woman brown when she was not.
Yes, that was a smart move. Yeah. And plus you got Daniel Craig and Judi Dench, so you have, in my opinion, the best Bond and the best M, and it's a Bond and M movie. And throughout the Craig era, actually throughout the since they got Judi Dench, they started writing M much better.
Yeah.
And this is the movie where that sort of culminates, and I think you said, Matt, that Judi Dench is the Bond girl in this one.
Yeah.
And it's such a great payoff. It almost makes me forget about Javier Bardem's stupid CGI face thing, which is literally the only blemish on this otherwise perfect movie.
Yes, agreed. And we can't forget, what's his name in the mansion at the end?
Curtis. No,
come
quick,
on.
Quick.
Fuck. You forget his name?
I don't remember.
It'll come to me.
Kincaid.
Irish. Kincaid. Yes, Kincaid. God, I love Kincaid. God, we should have got to see him and Judi Dench. Fuck.
I think there's outtakes. It's just he's a clothes on, like, pull it through the zipper guy.
Well, as we all are.
Oh my God.
All right. That leads us to number two. There's only two left. They are both coincidentally, premier episodes for new Bonds.
And they're both directed by the same guy, too.
Both directed by Martin Campbell, who, God knows, I hope when they get a new Bond, they just bring him back and just like, hey, work your magic. You're the good luck. You're the rabbit's foot of this fucking franchise.
Seriously,
for new Bonds.
I would.
This one had a very good score of a nine, and Matt gave it a 10. And that is
rock solid, dog.
GoldenEye.
GoldenEye.
GoldenEye. Our childhood sort of nostalgic.
Yeah.
Winner.
A lot of people hate the music in this movie. I actually really
I like it.
Yeah.
The little techno vibe.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how dated it was, and I couldn't believe that
in
I never
parts.
Noticed before.
Yeah.
It works in some parts. What my favorite thing about them is that they withhold the actual classic Bond theme until like more than halfway through the movie when he's running through the stacks. Yeah, it's just before that. It's when he's running through the stacks, they finally bump it in, and that's when the tank scene's about to happen. But think about how many iconic moments are in this movie. The tank scene, the bungee jumping off the thing, the fight on the satellite dish at the end.
Him jumping, following the plane
off the
mountain.
Him jumping off the plane, yeah. I mean,
the train.
The train.
Yeah, the train. Oh, my God. I mean, you could really, like, almost every moment in this movie is Minnie Driver singing. Almost every moment in this movie is amazing.
I think the video game also elevates this movie, too. It's bumped it up a couple points. Culturally, it made it, like, more long-lasting. And
Like, you want to talk about something that was resonant at the time in a broad context. GoldenEye is, if you were alive, you know GoldenEye. Even if you've never seen it, you kind of know more about it.
Still the game that sold the most on the 64. It always will be.
Yep, always, and will always be one of the best multiplayer games. Once you could play with four people, it was this and Mario Kart.
Yeah.
And those were like the four-player games that everyone had to own if you had friends come over and play video games.
Yep.
I was surprised that none of you liked Perfect Dark, which was like supposed to be kind of a sort of a sequel to GoldenEye, but with a different character. Oh. Yeah, Perfect Dark was a was like GoldenEye.
I don't think I ever played it or heard of it.
But it was a futuristic like sci-fi a bit, and the main character was a woman.
Oh, that's why I didn't do it.
I, at the time, as a kid...
I don't want to be a girl.
Yeah, I must have missed it. Like, I never knew anyone who had it, or we never played it. And I only discovered it later in life, and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. But
it was fun, because if you played four-player that, it was like Bond, but it had a couple interesting things. It had a gun that had heat vision, and it was a sniper rifle that could shoot through walls. And it also had a rocket launcher that the rocket acted as a drone.
Hmm.
So you could literally be like, I shoot a rocket and try to steer it around the level to kill someone while they're trying to shoot you through the walls.
That sounds very difficult. Well, judging by the last experience when we played GoldenEye, my really pronounced and fully honed high school skills, where I was one of the better players, have completely atrophied to the point where I just am like cannon fodder. I just get killed everywhere by everyone. I suck at GoldenEye now, is what I'm saying. And
I was surprisingly pretty good at it.
Yes, you were. You guys were both much better than me.
I was annoyed that Harris knew where the body armor was and went to it. Every time.
I was annoyed that I remembered all the level layouts and still couldn't fucking win a game. Just got killed constantly. By the way, people, I wasn't squatting on the body armor. I went out and did stuff.
He's
just
lying.
No. I'm not going to run around without body armor when I know where the body armor is. As soon as I was getting shot a lot, I would go back and get more. But I wasn't squatting. That is totally different and cheap. Which brings us to our final and most important and greatest Bond movie ever, Casino Royale. We talked at great length about it. That episode is actually one of our best.
Unquestionably the best of the bunch. I mean, it's just perfect in every way. They just put a whole new spin on it, new Bond, new way of doing things. Like that action sequence in the beginning. Like
It's one of the most iconic action sequences in any movie. Forget about the Bond franchise. That chase is one of the greatest. Also, you got the great cold open.
Yeah.
I love the song. You know, I it's not the best Bond song, but it's definitely
it gets you in the
really
mood.
Good.
It's
yeah.
like it sells
yeah,
exactly
great title
what
sequence,
yeah.
very very different title very sequence, different. But you know, yeah, very. I guess that's the best way to say it. Is it was very different in a lot of ways than the Bond film, but it helped sort of reintroduce us to this new version of Bond, and you know,
for a movie that could have gone south in like the way it did things, how it broke the mold, you know, changed the mold that we're used to. It's a movie that is so reflected upon in a positive way that it's like surprising.
They made all the right decisions.
It's a testament to how good it is. Yeah.
And they retained the stuff that really needed to be retained. In fact, there is a great, I want to recommend, it's a YouTube video called Lessons from the Screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a great one about character informing action that just dissects Casino Royale and how James Bond, and it's amazing how heavy-handed it is when you see it all laid out in the script, how many times people say, it's your ego that's holding you back, your ego, blah, 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 blah. And this is a guy who was always putting himself above the mission, whatever vendetta he was, you know, blah, 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 trying to get after. And they do a really good job of breaking it down, how that not only informs the whole arc of the plot and his arc as a character and what he has to grow to end the movie to win, but it also just shows, like, how much that plays into individual action scenes like that chase scene and how that is actually one of his great assets. And, you know,
yeah,
it's just really interesting. Can't really, it's like maybe a 10-minute video. Definitely recommend it.
Yeah. I think he will forever be known as like the physical Bond.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a counterpoint, Colin, who hated the movie, Colin,
you gave it a nine.
A lowly nine.
What was your big complaint on this one?
Too much of the nuts stuff.
Not enough.
I was hitting this guy in the balls.
Not enough pigeon double takes. Not enough wacky sound effects. Not enough slide whistle. That's my problem. If that chase sequence had a couple good slide whistle moments, like really pinpointed ones.
How did it grow back? Has he got some kind of lizard junk?
Just talking about this makes me want to go home and just, I'm not even just going to watch past the chase sequence. I'm just going to watch the chase sequence again.
That's so good.
While I'm eating my cereal.
Is that going to be before or after you, you put Die Another Day on again?
No, it's after. I'll put
I just
want to
get on cereal.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, I think that pretty much sums it up.
I mean, what more can you say? We've done this for 2 years, 2.5 years. We've got the list. And we'll have to see where No Time to Die falls in this list.
What's your prediction? Make a quick call.
Ooh, quick call. All right.
Let's start with this. Inside of the top 10 or outside of the top 10?
You know, hopefully if you didn't like us when you started listening, we wore you down.
I think it'll be in the top 10. It has to be. I mean, there's
all
just
the
so much promise.
All the creative delays, the earlier ones, worry me.
Yeah.
And the fact that Spectre was such a mess, even though it did so many things right,
But I think it'll be reactionary. A lot of these movies are to the last one. And yeah. So obviously, like, they know what people hate about Spectre. And it's either going to go one of the other way. It's going to go, you know, they're going to clean up the mess that Spectre made with the storyline.
Yeah.
Or they're just going to
ignore it,
double down on it.
Or double down on it. Yeah, because they are having Blofeld back. And they know that this is Craig's last, you know, rodeo. So I wonder if they're going to come up with a good send off. I mean, obviously they don't. They never set out to make a bad movie.
Yeah, and they have stated that this one is going to tie up the Craig storyline. So good. Obviously they're going to say things, you know, from the previous movies.
Yeah.
But will it be him walking down a hallway and seeing, like, printouts of Judi Dench's face?
Yeah. Let's hope so.
That's left to be said.
Yeah, my boss sent me here to print out these faces. They're people he's killed.
That's a movie right there. Like, you get, like, the PA who had to go to Kinko's to, like, print out the pictures. Yeah.
Does anybody have any two-sided tape? No, just make circles with the tape we gave you.
Deep circles.
Oh, all right.
Brilliant.
Great. All right. Well, thank you for listening. It's really been a fun ride. And
we'll see you again on License to Watch.
License to Watch. Mission Impossible will be our first movie. And we'll see you on the other side.
Bye.
We love you.
We're terrible at send-offs.